Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from two passages of Holy Scripture. The first is Genesis 19. We read the verses 23 through 26. And the second is Luke 17, verses 22 through 32. First then, Genesis 19, beginning at verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Secondly, Luke 17, beginning at verse 22. And he, that is Jesus, said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. The text for our sermon this morning is taken from Genesis 19 at verse 26. But his that is Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Dear friends, last week we meditated on the account of Lot and his family fleeing from Sodom. It was early in the morning. The sun was just beginning to appear over the horizon. Suddenly the two angels, who had been invited by Lot to spend the night at his home, roused the family from sleep, took them by the hand, and escorted them out of the city. Once they were safely outside the city, the angels warned them to run for their lives. Escape for thy life, they said. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Instead of doing what the angel told him to do, however, Lot objected. He said he was afraid to flee to the mountains, lest some evil overtake him. And so he came up with an alternative. Let me flee to Zoar, he said. Zoar, you recall, was the smallest of the five cities of the plain. That is where Lot wanted to go, and the angel granted his request. It was while Lot and his family were on their way to Zoar that something terrible happened. Lot's wife looked behind her, and she became a pillar of salt. Suddenly, without warning, she died. Well, what does this have to teach us today? These are some of the questions we hope to answer in our sermon this morning. The theme for the sermon is the death of Lot's wife. We'll consider 3 points. First, the shocking cause of her death. Secondly, the tragic nature of her death. And thirdly, the abiding lesson of her death. Lot and his family were on their way to Zoar. Just as they entered into the city, Lot discovered something terrible. His wife was not with them. Where could she be? He must have wondered. She was right behind me just a few minutes ago. And now she is gone. Well, what happened to Lot's wife? Our text tells us, while they were making their way to Zoar, she looked behind her, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, it is not clear what is meant by this. Was Lot's wife transformed into an actual pillar of salt? Or was her body merely encased in salt? We do not know. All we know is what the text tells us. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Now, the fact that Lot's wife became a pillar of salt is highly significant. Archaeologists tell us that after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain, the Dead Sea became salty, and the surrounding territory, which once was a lush, fertile plain, became a desert wasteland, as it is to this day. Evidently, Lot's wife was overcome by the salt that the Lord showered upon the area. Interestingly, to this day, one can find many pillars of salt in the region where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah once stood. In fact, one of these pillars is called Lot's wife, because it appears to be in the shape of a woman. Now, at first glance, you might think to yourself, what was the problem here? Why was Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? After all she did was look behind her. Did this merit being turned into a pillar of salt? Isn't this a bit drastic, even a bit unfair? Did the punishment really fit the crime? Well, in order to answer this question, we must realize that what Lot's wife did here was a grievous sin. Her decision to look back at Sodom was not just a final nostalgic look at the place that she once called home. It was an act of sinful rebellion stemming from rank unbelief. This will become clear when we remember what the angels said to Lot and to his family after they had brought them out of the city. They told them to make haste and to flee. They told them not to linger in the plain. They told them specifically not to look behind them. They had to literally run for their lives. But what did Lot's wife do? Well, she disobeyed the angel on both counts. First of all, she lingered. Our text says that Lot's wife looked back from behind him. You'll notice that Lot's wife was behind her husband. This indicates that she wasn't making haste like the angels told her. She was dragging her feet. She was behind her husband. Secondly, she looked behind her. The angels expressly told them not to look back. But Lot's wife disregarded the angel's command. She went her own way. She did her own thing. Lot's wife disobeyed the clear command of the angel, ultimately the clear command of God. And as a result, she was turned to a pillar of salt. Now, this raises a question, of course. Why did Lot's wife not do as the angel had commanded? The instructions were clear. Why didn't she do it? Well, the answer is simple. Because she did not believe. Disobedience, you see, is always rooted in unbelief. Think of Adam and Eve. God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But what did Adam and Eve do? Well, they disregarded God's command. They took of the forbidden fruit. And in so doing, they brought on themselves and their descendants the wrath and the judgment of God. They all had to die. Now you ask, why did they do it? Well, because deep down they did not really believe that they would die. They believed the devil when he said, you shall not surely die, rather than God who said, you shall surely die. Their disobedience was rooted in unbelief. And as a result of their disobedience, they and all of us have to die. Now we see the same sort of thing here in our text. The reason why Lot's wife did not do as the angel had said was because she simply did not believe the words that the angels had spoken. She simply did not believe that Sodom would be destroyed, or that anything would happen to her if she looked back. And because she did not believe, she was turned to a pillar of salt. When we understand this, then we realize that Lot's wife's decision to look behind her was more than a nostalgic backward glance. It was, as we have said earlier, an act of rebellion, yes, even defiance, rooted in rank unbelief. And so it is with every sin that we commit. My friend, do you realize that every sin that you commit, no matter how quote-unquote small it may be, is an act of rebellion against God, an act of rebellion that is ultimately rooted in rank unbelief. Ask yourself, why do people do the things that they know are contrary to the law of God? Because at bottom, they really don't believe that God will punish them. And they rationalize it like this. They say, well, isn't God a God of love? Does he not delight in forgiving sin? And while that is true, my friends, if the story of Lot's wife tells us anything, it tells us that God is also a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness. And as a God of justice and righteousness, he will punish sin. God cannot and will not allow sin to go unpunished. And those who refuse to take him and his warning seriously will suffer the consequences, and they will have no one but themselves to blame. This was true also for Lot's wife. She received fair warning. She was clearly told what the consequences would be if she disobeyed. But in the end, she did her own thing, and as a result, she got what she deserved. And yet, friends, her death was a great tragedy. We look at that under our second point. Though deserved, the death of Lot's wife was a great tragedy. This is true for at least two reasons. First of all, it was tragic considering her privileges. We do not know much about Lot's wife, where she was born, who her parents were, how she and Lot met, and so on. Some say she was from Sodom. Others say she was from Egypt. Still others say she was a Canaanite. The fact is, we do not know. What we do know is that she was not of the covenant line of Abraham. We know this because when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, there is no mention of Lot being accompanied by a wife. In fact, no mention is made of Lot having a wife until chapter 19, after he settled in Sodom. And so it is quite likely that Lot's wife was not a believer. This, of course, had serious consequences for Lot and for his family. As an unbeliever, Lot's wife did not have the same scruples as her husband. She did not vex her righteous soul day and night over the unlawful deeds of the men of Sodom like her husband did. In fact, she liked Sodom. It was most likely as a result of her influence that Lot eventually moved into Sodom and even allowed his daughters to marry men of Sodom. Oh, let this be a warning to us, especially to you young people listening to my voice this morning. Young people, the Word of God warns us not to become unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means we should not look outside the covenant community when looking for a life partner. I realize it sometimes happens that an unbeliever comes to faith later on in life, and we thank God for that. But that is not the norm. In most cases, when someone who has grown up in the church marries someone who has not grown up in the church, they end up not going to church at all. Oh yes, I know there are exceptions, and we are very thankful for those exceptions. But generally speaking, that is the pattern. We see that also here. Lot married outside the covenant community, and the consequences were disastrous for him as well as for his family. First, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then he moved right into Sodom. He became a city councillor in the city of Sodom. And his daughters married men of Sodom. And eventually he lost everything that he had. Oh, let this be a warning to us. And let us seek for a believing life partner within the covenant community. That is God's way. And if we ignore that way, there will be serious consequences to follow. Lot's wife, therefore, was not a believer, and yet she was highly privileged. Through her connection to Lot, and indirectly to Abraham, she came to know the true God. Moreover, as Lot's wife, she was incorporated as a member of the covenant community. She, too, was a recipient of the promises of the covenant of grace. Yes, in a manner of speaking, God was her God as well, and she was God's child. Not in a saving sense, of course, but in a covenantal sense. That is why she was rescued from the destruction of Sodom along with her husband. That is why she was permitted to flee to Zoar, along with her husband and her two daughters. It was because she was a covenant child. She was an object of God's favor. This teaches us something, doesn't it, about how God works. It teaches us that God is pleased to deal with us not only as individuals, but also as families. You see this principle illustrated many times in both the Old and the New Testaments. For example, Rahab. We read in the Old Testament that only Rahab believed, and yet her whole family was saved from the destruction of Jericho. Or in the New Testament, we read of the Philippian jailer. He alone is said to have believed, but his whole household was baptized. This explains also why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, says that the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife, and that the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband, and also that the children of a believing spouse are holy, meaning set apart. It is because the unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife, together with their children, are brought into a relationship of favor with the Lord on account of his covenant of grace. This, by the way, is one of the strongest arguments in favor of infant baptism. The case for infant baptism rests largely on the fact that God deals with us as families. He looks with special favor on all those who are connected either by marriage or by blood to a believer. And so it is here as well. Lot's wife was spared because of her connection to Lot. This was a great privilege, and yet Lot's wife died. Oh, let this be a warning to all of us. It is possible to be born into a believing family. It is possible to have the sacrament of baptism applied to your forehead and thereby to be incorporated into the covenant community. It is possible to attend church every Sunday, to go to Christian school, Sunday school, youth group, and all the rest, to take advantage of all the other privileges that come with being a covenant child and yet be lost. You see, friends, these outward privileges, as precious as they are not enough. What we need is to be born again. Jesus said, "Except ye are born again, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." This applies also to us. We and our children need to be born again. We need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Unless we are born again, we cannot be saved. All of our privileges notwithstanding. But that was the problem with Lot's wife. She was married to Lot, a covenant child and a righteous man. Through Lot, she became a member of the covenant community and a recipient of the promises of the covenant of grace. But in the end, she was lost. Why was she lost? Because she did not personally appropriate the things of God to herself in the way of faith and repentance and personal conversion. She had all the outward privileges, but not the inward grace. And as a result, she perished. Again, my friends, let this be a warning to us. Yes, we too, most of us listening to my voice this morning, we have many privileges. But let us be sure also to appropriate these privileges in the way of personal faith and repentance in Christ. If we do not, we will perish, like Lot's wife. Secondly, the death of Lot's wife was tragic considering how close she came to being saved. Notice, first of all, how much light she had received. Earlier we observed that through her connection to Lot, Lot's wife came to know the true God and his plan of salvation. But that is not all. She was present when the two angels were in her home. She saw how they rescued her husband from certain death, and how they smote the men of Sodom with blindness. She heard herself firsthand what the angels said, how he told them that God had sent them to destroy the city and how they had to flee. Oh yes, she had received much light. Moreover, the light she received made a certain impression upon her. You notice at first Lot's wife believed the words of the angel. Oh, Lot's wife was not like the men of Sodom, intent upon the world and sin, quite unconcerned about the judgment that was about to fall on them. Nor was she like her sons-in-law. She did not think that her husband was joking when he told her that Sodom would be destroyed. No, she believed him. And how do we know that? Because the next morning she fled the city with Lot and her two daughters. She didn't sit back and say, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to go with you to Zoar. I'm going to stay right here. No, she fled along with everyone else. And not only did she flee from Sodom, she fled to Zoar. And she was almost there. She had almost reached the gates of the city. And yet, she perished. And so it is with many in the church today. There are many people like Lot's wife. They received much light. They were raised in Christian families. They went to Christian school. They went to Sunday school. They went to youth group. They attended church every Sunday. And even at times, the things that they heard and were taught made a certain impression upon them. They may have heard a particularly arresting sermon. They may have been affected by a sudden death or tragedy in the family. Their consciences were pricked. They began to make more earnest care for their soul. They began to read their Bibles more. They came to church more faithfully. They listened to the sermons more attentively. They prayed more fervently. But after a while, the storm subsided, and the sun began to shine, and all was forgotten. Like Lot's wife, they began to think about their friends and their former way of life. They thought how difficult it would be to leave everything behind. And they began to convince themselves that perhaps the wrath of God would not come down upon them after all. I still have plenty of time to repent, they say. For now I might as well enjoy life. I can get serious later. They came close to being saved, but then they looked back and they perished. Oh, how tragic! How tragic to be almost saved, but not quite. Oh, may this not be true of any of you listening to my voice this morning. May it never be written on your gravestone, almost saved, but not quite. Rather, let us seek the Lord today while he may be found, and let us not rest until we have rested in him. And so we see that the death of Lot's wife was indeed a great tragedy, but what is the abiding lesson of this sad story? We turn to that briefly under our third and final point. What is the abiding lesson of the death of Lot's wife? Well, our Lord provides the answer to this question in Luke 17, verses 31 and 32. In the surrounding verses, the Lord Jesus was explaining to the disciples what it would be like when he comes again in judgment. And he compares it to the day that the Lord destroyed the world with a flood, and the day that he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, the day that Jesus returns will be like any ordinary day. People will be eating and drinking and getting married. But just as in the days of Noah and Lot, judgment will come suddenly and without warning. Then Jesus warned the disciples that when that day comes, they should not return to their homes in order to fetch their belongings. Verse 31. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that we should live in such a way that when the Lord does return, earthly concerns and material possessions should be the last thing on our minds. We should be ready to leave at a moment's notice. Then to illustrate this, Jesus points to Lot's wife. He says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, Jesus is saying, is a perfect example of what we should not do in the day of judgment. That is, we should not look behind us. We should not look with longing or desire at the things that we leave behind. Our heart should not be so tied to the things of this life that we cannot bear to part with them. Those who do that are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. This then is the abiding lesson of the tragic death of Lot's wife. Oh, let us learn this lesson, my friends. Let us not become so attached to the things of this life that we cannot bear to part with them. But let us first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let that be our number one priority. Let that be the thing that gives us the greatest joy and the greatest satisfaction. Let us not set our hearts on the things of this world. A big car, a fancy house, nice clothes, lots of money. But let us set our hearts in the kingdom of God and seek Him and His righteousness. That then is the abiding lesson of the death of Lot's wife. It's simply this. Don't look back. Don't become so attached to the things of this life that they mean more to you than the things of the life to come. Remember that here we have no continuing city. We are but pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Oh, may God give us grace that we may live that way until the day that He comes again. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not a member of such a church or worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Calgary and in Monarch and in Lacombe. If you would like more information about this broadcast, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or if you like, you may give me a call at area code 403-553-3400. That's 403-553-3400. Gives us great encouragement to hear from you, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Church, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 1:30 and 6:30, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at this same time for the Banner of Truth.